Begin the current daf Masechta Beis, daf Chav Zayin. Begin 6 line down the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, we introduced in the previous Mishnah, a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon, is one allowed to see, to assess, evaluate blemishes on the Bechor, firstborn animal, on Yom Tov or not. That is, a Bechor Bezman Azeh is not allowed to be eaten unless it develops a blemish. And that is, the question is one allowed to evaluate that if it's considered a permanent blemish. Is that going to be considered like somewhat of a tikkun, like you're fixing it, which is somewhat like a malacha, or like as if you're judging it, which is not allowed to have a din Torah on Yom Tov, or not, and therefore be permitted? That was the machlokes in our Mishnah. So now regarding that, the Gemara brings that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi, Havalahu Bukhar, he had this firstborn animal on Yom Tov, and he had in his house different kahanim that would eat by his table, who they would eat the firstborn animals. So Shadrul Kamed Rabami, he sent this firstborn animal in front of Rabami to go ahead and assess it to see if it's considered a permanent blemish, and then his guest, the Kaim, could eat it. So, Savdulay Mechzaya. Rabbi Ami thought not to go ahead and check it out and to assess the blemish if it is going to be permissible to eat or not, like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which held that it's forbidden to evaluate the blemishes on Yom Tov. But Amalei Rabbi Zreka said to him, and some say it was Rabbi Yirmiya, says, why? Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon. We know whatever there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon, halacha Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Avin, where it sets up all the rules when there's a machlokes between different opinions, who do we follow in halacha? We always go like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, why are you being stringent and not evaluating it to see if it's a blemish? If the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, then he holds that it's permitted, as we said in our Mishnah. Hadar Shadre lekamed Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Then he had sent it, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So he thought, again, not to see it, to be machmer like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So again, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya told him, and some say B'Tamer, Rabbi Zreka, that it was actually Rabbi Zreka, that, what do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, when we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halacha Rabbi Yehuda, halacha falsa Rabbi Yehuda, who he says in our Mishnah is permitted to evaluate a permanent blemish in the Bechor on Yom Tov, and therefore why are you being stringent and not evaluating it? Now, those were the two different stories where it was told to them that you should go ahead and be lenient like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because that's the halacha. Only Rabbi Abba, however, told Rabbi Zreka, "My time Shav Katinu LeRabbanu LeMevet of the Kriyas Shimon. Why don't you let these Rabbanan, who, as we had in these stories, that it was sent to them and they thought not to go ahead and evaluate on Yom Tov?" He asked Rabbi Zreka, "Why don't you let them be Machmer like Rabbi Shimon and not evaluate on Yom Tov?" So Malais, Rabbi Zreka said to Rabbi Abba, "What do you mean? Va'at mad b'yotcha? What do you have in your hand? In other words, where are you coming from?" That you want to go ahead and forsake Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and you want to do like Rabbi Shimon, for who did you hear from that halacha should be like Rabbi Shimon? We know that the general, until we know otherwise, that when you have a machlokes is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted. So why should I not stop them from being machlokes like Rabbi Shimon if the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So Amalei said to him, because Hachim Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Abba says, because this is what Rabbi Zera says, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. The reason why I'm telling you that why don't you let them be machmir like Rabbi Shimon is because Rabbi Zera actually says the halacha does follow k'Rabbi Shimon over here. So Amar Mandu, there was someone over there, one of the students who was there, and it's not known what his name was, when he heard this conversation and he heard that Rabbi Zera had said actually that although generally halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, in this case halacha is like Rabbi Shimon to be machmir, he said, Eski, let it be the will of Hashem that I merit the Asik Lohasim, and I go up to Eretz Yisrael, to the place where Rabbi Zera lived, where he was the one who had said this statement, that in the name of the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and Va'agma L'shmaita Mipumi Demar, that I go ahead and merit to actually learn this halacha straight from his mouth. Because although there was this discussion that it seemed the halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda, and that Rabbi said, oh, but name Rabbi Zera halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, he says, let me hear it straight from Zera's mouth, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara tells us that Kisak Lahasim, when the student actually went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkech Reb Zera, he encountered Reb Zera and Amalei, so he asked him the question he was waiting for. Amma ma halacha k'Reb Shimon, did you, the master, say the halacha v'az k'Reb Shimon? Amalei lo, he says, no, I never said that. I know mistabri, he says, I said it's logical like Reb Shimon Amri, that's what I said. But I never said that the halacha has been established like Reb Shimon. I just said it would seem to be that the halacha shafal k'Reb Shimon. Now the reason is, why did I say that? Because we learned in our Mishnah on the previous daf, Rabbi Shimon had said in regards to this machlekes, he says, Kol she'ein mumay nikr mabayim, wherever the blemish was not recognizable from before Yom Tov, so ein zemen amuchen, that's not considered papir, and therefore it's considered muktzah, because it has to have been already evaluated, has to have been already discerned from before Yom Tov, that it's a blemish. Now, in a braisa, which we had brought this in the previous staff, where it said that Osava Aisa must need miyadi, that someone had come with this brisa, which said whether the animal's blemish was already from before Yom Tov, or whether the blemish developed on Yom Tov, either way, it said, Chacham said, now that opinion that the Chacham was saying was the opinion of Rib Shimon, who were saying that one is not allowed to go ahead and evaluate a blemish on Yom Tov, and yet it was called, in the term of that, when they were using Rib Shimon's name, it was called Chachamim, that the Chacham say. So that is where I infer that if they're saying it's the Chachamim, which seems to be the majority, it's the sages, that that's who's saying that opinion, that obviously it sounds like a halacha is like Reb Shimon, and that's why they're using the term Chachamim, and that the other one is the Das Yachid, and that's why I said it makes sense to say halacha is like Reb Shimon, that one cannot evaluate a permanent blemish on Yom Tov, but I never said actually that halacha falls like him. I just said mistaber, it makes sense like him. So the Gemara still says, so my Havilah, so what was the conclusion with this? So what is the halacha? Is it like Rabbi Yehuda as it generally is? Or is it that, as it seems to be indicated, that in this case we will pass the halacha like Rabbi Shimon, that one cannot evaluate a blemish on Yom Tov? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Toshima, come in here, Detalya Ba'ashli Ravavi. It seems to be hanging from large and thick ropes, which are very difficult to take apart, to rip apart, to detach them. In other words, what he's trying to say is that there are great sages that have already said, and it's not easy to be mevatel their words, that it seems to be indicated one way the halacha. And that is the Amr B'Shim ben Pazi, Amr B'Shim Alevi, Amr B'Yusuf ben Shaul, Amr Rebbe, who said the name of Rebbe, Mishum Kahala Kadish B'Shlaim, in the name of the holy congregation that was in Jerusalem, that they said as follows. They said Reb Shimon, who Rashi learns that's a reference to Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, the Chaver and his colleagues, who that's regarding who he had said on the previous daf, that Hare Amru, in his argument, he had said that, but they said that Ein Roin Mum B'Yom Tov, that one cannot go ahead, which was in the opinion of Reb Shimon of our Mishnah, that one cannot go ahead and see the blemish and evaluate on Yom Tov. Amru, the Kahal Kadisha in Yerushalayim, had said that Reb Shimon and his Chaverim, they were going and they said Halacha Kreb Meir. They were going and saying in the same opinion as Reb Meir, which is a Mishnah Masechtas Becharis, that the Gemara will shortly explain, that that's in the same opinion that they're going in. Now, the Gemara assumes right now that the testimony of the Kahal Kadisha, of the holy congregation in Jerusalem, they were saying on what Reb Shimon ben Manasseh had said, that he also says this. In other words, they were saying in his name what the halacha is. Now, on that is what Rabbi Yosef comes to explain now. Amru, did they say? In other words, is it possible that the Kahal Kadisha said over this halacha in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and his colleagues, that they said the halacha is like Reb Meir and that we follow that? We're saying over the halacha in Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh's name? But the Gemara says, but va'inu kashisha mei tuva, the Kahal Kadisha were much older than Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. And that is, this Kahal Kadisha that Rebbe is saying over in their name is definitely older than Reb Shimon ben Manasseh by far, because Reb Shimon ben Manasseh was in the days of Rebbe and his sons, as the Mishnah Masechtas Avos in the sixth parag says. The Amr Reb Shimon ben Manasseh says, these are the seven characteristics which the Chacham said regarding Talmidim, they all were fulfilled by Rebbe and his sons. And even before he argues with him, now, that was on the brice that we're discussing from the previous staff. And therefore, how could the Kahal Kadisha, who Rebbe saying over in their name, which are older than Rebbe, say that the halachas of Reb Shimon ben Manasseh were to say that Reb Shimon and his Chaverim say halachas of Gemeir, but if they're much older, the sages, the elders, are not saying of the halacha of the little Bachrim that are saying halachas. So how would we understand that? So Ella, rather, the Gemara clarifies that what the Kahal Kadisha was saying is that Reb Shimon ben Manasseh and his friends, that they said that we cannot see mumen, you cannot evaluate blemishes on Yom Tov, b'shitas Reb Meir amrua, they were saying it in Reb Meir's opinion. In other words, and that is possible, that the elders will talk about what the Bachrim, what the younger students are talking about, and saying, oh, what that Bachr is saying, that's going like according to that opinion which is mentioned elsewhere. And but not that they were saying over the halacha in his name as if, oh, you know what Reb Shimon Manasseh says? We follow Reb Shimon Manasseh, who he says like Reb Shimon, that which is said in our Mishnah, that we did not evaluate animals on Yom Tov, and that's also the same as Reb Meir. No, we don't say that. they were saying that, oh, when they were heard what the younger students had said, says, oh, he's saying like that opinion, and therefore that's a valid point, because actually Reb Meir says the same point, that one does not evaluate blemishes on Yom Tov. It's not like you learn the Mishnah Masechtas B'chairis that illustrates that Reb Meir also says the same thing, not like Reb Yehuda, but rather like Reb Shimon, that we do not evaluate the blemishes of animals on Yom Tov, where the Mishnah says, Hashechet es ha-b'chair, if someone slaughters a firstborn animal before the chacham, before the mumcha has gone ahead and evaluated and said that it's a blemish that one could go ahead and eat it, and then only afterwards, after that he slaughtered it, does he show the blemish to the chacham. So now we have a machlekes in that Mishnah. Behudamati says it's permitted because ultimately, even though you shouldn't have slaughtered it because you don't know if you could eat it, but once we find out that it had a blemish, so it's permitted for people to eat it. Remeir says no. Since it was slaughtered without the professional first seeing it, so then also then it's forbidden. Now, so the inference that the Kahal Kadisha were inferring when they were evaluating Reb Shimon Manasseh and his colleague's opinion that we do not evaluate an animal on Yom Tov, they said, Alma Kesav Remeir, obviously, that Remeir holds, Rias Bechar, that the evaluation of the blemish of the firstborn, is lav, is not as lenient, Kriyas Trefa, like the evaluation of an animal if it has a moral defect. And that is because the ri'iyah of a mum, of a bechor, is a distinct criterion that is the actual permissibility of the firstborn is dependent upon the evaluation if it has a mumanat. And that is, even its slaughtering is going to be forbidden if it was done before it was seen. And that is the actual evaluation. It's not that the fact that if it has one or not, which is the case by a trefa. A trefa doesn't have to be checked before slaughtered or not. It just does it have it or does it not have it. So whether you checked it before or not, it wouldn't make a difference. However, regarding what we see from Reb Meir's opinion, is that no, it's the actual stamp of approval of the mumcha which actually makes it permitted, not the fact that it even has one. And therefore, if it's not done before the shechita, so that's forbidden because you were slaughtering something that wasn't permitted. It has to have been evaluated beforehand, not even if we see the mum afterwards that retroactively say, oh, it obviously had one. No, that won't work. Now, so based on that criterion of Reb Meir's opinion, so we see that Re'iyas Bechor Mechayim, that the evaluation of the mum, of the firstborn, has to be when it's still alive. Re'iyas Treifel Acher Shechita, whereas as one could see that if an animal had a moral defect, it doesn't have to be checked if it had or not before it was slaughtered. You could check after it was slaughtered. If you don't see that it has any, so it's kosher. If it has and it's not, it doesn't have to be when it's still alive. That's what Reb Meir's opinion is basically saying. Now, on that Umimna, now from that, from Reb Meir's opinion, this is what the Kahal Kadisha are saying, that Reb Shimon Manasseh and his colleagues said, now, since this Re'iyas Mum of the Bechor is so chashuv, is so distinct, that is, we see that it itself is what makes the animal permitted. Not, it's not just revealing, it's not just being megala, it's actually what makes it permitted. So then it's really like mesakin, it's like really fixing the animal, and it's like you're really judging a judgment which is forbidden to be done on Yom Tov, and therefore it's forbidden to see such a mum on Yom Tov, and therefore they said that re'iyas treifah fil b'Yom Tov. You're right, to check if an animal has a moral defect or not, you could check it on Yom Tov, because that itself, the evaluation itself, is not really what's making it permit or not. It's just so we can know if it has a defect or not, which that itself makes it permissible or not. But Re'iyas Bechor Me'erev Yom Tov, but the evaluation of the firstborn, that has to be from before Yom Tov, because the actual evaluation is what makes it permissible. Now, and that's what the Gemara is saying, that is Talya B'Ashli Ravavi, that this idea of this Machlekes is hanging from these large ropes where the Kahal Kadisha had said that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, because not only is it Reb Shimon not like Reb Yehuda, but it's also Reb Meir that's not like Reb Yehuda, and that's what Reb Shimon ben Yechai and Reb Meir are going like one opinion, so it comes that Reb Yehuda is a das yachid, is an individual in place of these two Talmudic giants of Reb Meir and Reb Shimon, and therefore that's why the halacha is going to be like Reb Shimon, that one cannot evaluate the Bechor for its mum on Yom Tov, and that's what they were saying, that the Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, their younger, had said this halacha. They said that it seems to be correct because Reb Meir also says that, so it's Reb Meir and Reb Shimon versus Reb Yehuda, so that's the halacha. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Amla Abaya, Abaya said to Reb Yosef, says, no. It's not a raya from here, from Reb Meir's opinion, that we have Reb Meir now with Reb Shimon to say not like Reb Yehuda. Because how could you compare Reb Meir's halacha to the halacha that Reb Shimon's arguing with Reb Yehuda? Atu Hasam, he says, do you think over there in Reb Meir's halacha in the firstborn animal that Beroyin Mumin, regarding evaluating blemishes after slaughtering, Pligi, that's what they're arguing, the way we had explained it in the, as the Gemara wanted to in the proof, that the reason is because of it has a certain chashivas, and that's where Meir said, look, it is what permits the animal. If you go ahead and you check it after it's slaughtered, it's too late already, because you slaughtered an animal that wasn't permitted to be eaten. And that is what Abai is telling Rav Yisu, that's not the case. But actually, b'knasa pligi, what they're arguing is regarding a whole different idea, regarding a penalty, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Now, what that would mean is, if let's say a different person slaughtered this animal, thinking that a mumcha, because you see the blemish over here, and therefore you thought, oh, it must be that the professional had already permitted it, even Reb Meir would agree that we could evaluate such an animal and that it wouldn't be a problem about after the shechita being done, and hence it would have no reflection regarding if you could evaluate a bechor's mum on Yom Tov or not. It could be Reb Meir would agree to Reb Yehuda that one could evaluate, because the actual evaluation is not the significant factor to say that, oh, it's what's mesakin, and therefore you can't do that on Yom Tov. No, it's just because if you slaughter before you go ahead and evaluate it, that's a penalty that we don't want you to do that, and that's what's forbidden. But if someone didn't know, then of course we could evaluate after the slaughtering. As Rabbi Yochanan had said, that the difference in the opinion between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda over here is that bedukin shebe'ayin, regarding cataracts in the eye, and that is, if this blemish in the eye, if it's a cataract, that it's a blemish or not, Kuli Amalei Pligi says, there no one argues, that is, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, the usur, that it is forbidden. Now, the reason is, why can't you evaluate such a blemish after it's slaughtered or not? Mishum de mishtanim, because they actually change after the animal dies. Because there are certain cataracts that after it's dead, looks like it was a permanent blemish. Where had you had seen it before it was slaughtered, it would seem like what's called a mum eiver, or just a passing blemish, which is not enough to permit it to be consumed. It's still considered a tam. So everyone would agree that you wouldn't be able to evaluate such an animal after slaughtered. Ki pligi b'mumin shebeguv, their whole machlik is regarding blemishes in the body, not, let's say, in the eye. For example, if, let's say, its ear was cut off or its hand was broken, where that doesn't change when it dies, on that, Remeir sover gezrin the mumin shebeguv atu mumin shebe'ayin. You know why Remeir says it's forbidden to evaluate after it dies? Not because the way you were assuming that you're explaining that that's going to be like Reb Shimon, and the reason is because the actual evaluation is what permits it, and therefore has to be done before the shechita. No, it's because he says that if we allow you to evaluate blemishes that don't change after the animal dies, let's say if a hand is broken, then we might come to do blemishes that do change after it dies, like cataracts in the eyes, and that would be problematic, because then you're going to be permitting something which really wasn't permitted. Rabbi Yehuda, however, he says we don't make such a gezeira, and therefore he argues in the mayor and says that no, such blemishes you could evaluate after the animal had died. However, what Abai is telling Rabbi Yisrael is that this does not reflect at all regarding the halacha in the machlokes in our Mishnah between Reb Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, if we say that you could evaluate blemishes on Yom Tov Benad, because they're not discussing the criteria of the evaluation itself. They're just handling this idea about, is it a knas, will we make such a penalty or not, and therefore doesn't reflect at all on this machlokes. And actually, Amar Rav Nachum Yitzchak, he says that Masnidin, the Mishnah in Masechtas Becheiros, Nami Deika, actually, precise reading also indicates that Reb Meir that says that it's usur to evaluate the animal after it was slaughtered is not because of this that we're considering it chashav a thing and therefore reflecting on the machlokes in our Mishnah, rather because of a gezeira that it's a penalty that we shouldn't get used to it. And therefore, then you might come to do it by even, let's say, bedukin shebe'ayin, with cataracts in the eyes, which do change after death. Diktani, as we learned over there in the Mishnah, it says, Remeir says, Hayil v'nishchat shaloy al pi mumcha aser. Remeir's words were that since it was slaughtered not by a professional, therefore it's aser. So that the Gemara says, Shema mino k'nasu hu dikakonas. Obviously, that what Remeir is saying is that it's a penalty. And that is from the fact that Remeir says it's forbidden. And then I would understand that that's something that it's dependent on the act of the valuation itself, that that's something that's forbidden, and you cannot evaluate after slaughtering whatsoever, because it's the mochash of a thing which has to be done before slaughtering. It doesn't say that. Rather, it's obvious that since one violated this halacha of evaluating that it should be done before the slaughtering, and he did first the slaughtering, Shema Minah, from there you could infer that that's the reason, and that is because the person was lenient, and he slaughtered it. So on that, Remeir says, he just makes it dependent on the wickedness of the Kayin, who was lenient, and had already slaughtered it before going ahead, and then going ahead to evaluate it. That's the reason why it's forbidden, again, based on this Gezeira. We don't want people evaluating because of a rabbinic decree that we want everyone to always do it beforehand, because there are certain things that if you'll check afterwards, it will be problematic because you'll confuse. It could have been really a mum ivor. Now it seems like a mum kavua. Now that is what Rav Meir says. If you went ahead and you slaughter it, now you can't go ahead and value it anymore because you violated this rabbinic dictum that we wanted you to have so that it doesn't get confused. But again, nothing to do with the machlekes in our Mishnah, and therefore it does not reflect, and therefore it's still not clear who the halacha fall like in regards to the machlekes of Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, if we can go ahead and evaluate the blemishes of Bechairis, of firstborn animals, on Yom Tov. Now, regarding this topic from our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Ami Vardina. Now, his name was Ami. The reason why it's called Vardina, one interpretation is Rashi is because he was very beautiful, which is because of a verid, which is a rose. Or Rashi says because he was from a place called Vardina. Either way, he was Chazi Burcha de Bein Nisiyah, but he was the one that would evaluate the blemishes of the firstborns of the house of the Nasi. Now, B'yemet Tava lo habachaze, on Yom Tov, he would not evaluate the blemishes. So, also v'amr le'il Rabami. So they came and they told Rabami that he wasn't evaluating blemishes on Yom Tov. So he said to them, Shaper Kavod lo habachaze, he's doing well, but that he's not evaluating blemishes on Yom Tov. Which is like Reb Shimon. I think Gemara asks, "Ini, is that really so?" But Reb Ami Gufi Chazi, Reb Ami himself would evaluate blemishes on Yom Tov. So why do you say that he was doing well by not evaluating? So I think Gemara says, "No, Reb Ami Ki Chazi." Actually, Reb Ami when he would evaluate Me'at Mohabachaz, he would look at it yesterday before Yom Tov if it's a permanent blemish or a temporary blemish, which would not make it permitted. Now the Gemara continues on Amd Beis. However, this that we know that we saw Reb Ami evaluating them on Yom Tov. Was Uba Yamtiv Shiyuli Kumashail Hechav Ovda. And Yamtiv, he would then ask, how did it happen? How did this blemish come about? And sometimes he was very busy on Erev Yamtiv. Now, when they would show him the blemish, so he would say, okay, go now and come back tomorrow on Yamtiv. Then when they would come back on Yamtiv, he would ask them, he would interrogate them, how did this blemish happen? And the reason is because Kahanim, who they're the ones that have the firstborns, they're considered suspected that regarding the firstborn animals, that maybe they actually went and created the blemish in the animal. As the Mishnah says himself, the Bechairis, that all blemishes that could be man-made, that the Jewish, the non-Kohanic shepherds, they're believed, because they have no vested interest, but the shepherds that are Kohanim, they're not believed. And therefore they have to bring witnesses that happened by itself, or else we don't believe them, because maybe they did it because they can't eat it, and they have to hold on to it and support it and to do everything they need for it until it develops a blemish. So therefore it's not actually that he would evaluate on Yom Tov, because he also was machmir like Reb Shimon and only see it from before Yom Tov. It's just that then he would ask the questions on Yom Tov how it happened and then permit it, but really it was already evaluated from before. Kihaz, the Gemara brings the same thing, Dahu Gavra, there was a certain person who he was a Kayan, the Aisi Burchuli Kameh the Rabbah, that he brought a firstborn animal in front of Rabbah, a Pani de Mali Yomitava, which is in the afternoon on Erev Yom Tov. Habayasav Rava v'kochayif reisha. So Rava was busy. He was getting ready for Yom Tov, and he was shampooing his hair. So Dalyein, he picked up his eyes. The Chazil Mumen, he took a look at the blemish. So Amalei told him, same thing, Zilo Idna v'salamacha, go for now. I'm busy now. Come back tomorrow, and I'll tell you. So Kiyas Lamacha, when he came back on Yom Tov, Amma, so Rava told him, Hecha hava ovda, how exactly did this happen? I see the blemish, but how did it come about? So Amalei, so the Kohen told me, says, Havishadin sari b'chach gisa dohutza. What happened was is that there were barley that was thrown on one side of this fence, which was a fence made out of thorns. And now the firstborn, this bechor, this animal, was be'idach gis on the other side of this wall, again, that was this fence made out of thorns. Now, when he wanted to eat, he stuck his head in through that wall, and then the thorns went and ripped his lips, which is one of the blemishes mentioned of sefasei shenifkema, his lips that are blemished, which is always recognizable. And that's how it developed the blemish. So Rabbi told him, Dilma ad garamtele, maybe you actually caused it. Maybe what he meant was, although you didn't actually go ahead and cut his lip, but maybe you intentionally put the barley on the other side of that wall made out of thorns. And the reason why he was suspecting him is because, as we mentioned before, the Kahanim are suspicious regarding the firstborn animals because of the great effort and expenses that they have to take care of it, which a non-Kayan actually doesn't have to. They just hold on to it for 3 months and then they give it to the Kayan. So therefore, since he was a Kayan, he was suspicious, and therefore he asked, maybe you caused it and you intentionally put the barley there that it should develop the blemish. Amalei Lai says, no, it's not true. I didn't do that. It just happened to be there. And he went and he went and cut his lip, and therefore it's permitted. I should be able to eat it. Now, the Gemara asks, Umanot Tamer de Grama Aser. Now, he was asking, maybe he planted it there. So who cares? He didn't do it. You can't make the blemish to yourself. But who said that a grumma, just causation, is actually forbidden to even cause that the animal should get a blemish? So I think Moshe said the time, like, Lina Braisa. It's a pasuk in the Yikra that says, Mum lo yiboy, that there shouldn't be any blemish in this firstborn animal. Now, Ainli, Elo shelo yehaya boy mum. So the way that the Gemara is reading it is that lo yia means lo yehaya. That how would I know that the blemish of the forbidden, the prohibition of making a blemish is only that one should not actively make it? How do you know that you can't even cause the blemish to happen through a different way? Which is, that the person should not bring dough or pressed figs and put it on the firstborn, on the bechor's, the animal's ears, so the dog is going to want to get that food and it's going to eat it and take it off the ear, in the process biting the ear and causing a blemish. How do you know even that cannot be done? So that's what the pasuk teaches, all blemishes, which amar mum, it says blemish, and for amar kamum, it also adds on the word kol to say all blemishes. And that is, had it only said mum, so, and it wouldn't have said the word kol, so I wouldn't have said that grama is also asr, as generally it's not forbidden. Grama is not the same as the person himself doing it. Rather, it would only be a problem if you yourself made the blemish. But now that it says mum, which would come to prohibit making the blemish itself, and it says the word kol, it adds on kol mum, that would also include even grama, and that's why he asked him, maybe you put the barley there, thereby violating the grama, and of causing the blemish to happen, and therefore that would be prohibited. And that's why he answered, no, I didn't do that, it just happened by itself, and therefore it should be permitted to be done in Yom Tov. But again, he didn't analyze and evaluate the blemish on Yom Tov, he saw it from before Yom Tov, like Reb Shimon. It's just that he asked him the questions about how it came about on Yom Tov itself. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding an animal that was dying. So here we talk about actually Behemah Shemesa, an animal that died. So on that the Mishnah tells us, Lo yazizen memkayma, you're not allowed to move it from its place. It's considered muktzah, there's no utility for it on Yom Tov, and therefore you can't move it. Umaisa v'shalu es Reb Tarfon aleihu, and actually there was a story where they asked Reb Tarfon regarding such a dead animal. And additionally they asked him about a chala shenitmes, regarding chala, which is one of the kahana gifts when a person is making dough, they have to take off a certain portion and give that to the kohen. Now, regarding such a challah that became tameh, which is not fit for the kohen today on Yom Tov, because you can, the challah that became tameh is forbidden forever. Now, the only utility that the kohen could use with this challah that's tameh is to use it as fuel or to give it to his dog. Now, on Yom Tov, actually, that's forbidden to be done, because the halacha is that we cannot be mevar, we cannot go ahead and burn up kudshim that are tameh from this world on Yom Tov. And that would even include through the animals eating it, where the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that it's codified in that we're not seyriv kachem Yom Tov. We cannot burn kachem Yom Tov, which means say any type of getting rid of an item cannot be done on Yom Tov, as the Gemara there explains. And therefore this challah, which he can't eat it, so it doesn't have utility in that way. The only utility he has is by consuming it in the form of fuel or giving it to his dog. Now, that cannot be done either on Yom Tov, and therefore, since that's essentially the same thing as a dead animal, which has no utility, so they asked him, what's the halacha? Could you move such items on Yom Tov? V'nichnas l'beis ha-medrash of Shalom, and he came into the beis ha-medrash, the study hall, and he asked this question. But Amar lo, and they said to Reb Tarfon, lo yaziz mekayim, you can't move it from its place. Their muktzah has no utility, and therefore cannot be moved. Now, on that, the Gemara says, let's say we have an anonymous Mishnah, which always has priorities in halacha, that's not like Reb Shimon. The time like we learned in the Braisa, Reb Shimon Omer, he says, you could chop up gourds in front of an animal, type of vegetable, and you could cut up a dead animal carcass in front of the dogs. Now, obviously, as Rashi explains, that we're talking about that it became a nevela on Shabbos, which is the discussion that we're talking about, of it becoming a nevela on Shabbos or Yom Tov, from the fact that, as the Gemara will shortly quote in the Braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda argues on Reb Shimon, and he says that, oh, if it wasn't a nevela from before Shabbos, then it's forbidden because then it wasn't prepared. In other words, if it was a nevela from before Shabbos, so you know what it's for. You know no person is eating the nevela because it's usher to eat it, so you know it's already designated for the dogs, then even he would agree you could chop it up for the dogs on Yom Tov. So if he's arguing, must be Reb Shimon who's saying it's permitted, even if it became a nevela on Shabbos or Yom Tov, still he holds you could go ahead and cut it up for the dogs, which again is not like our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says that if it dies, you cannot move it and you wouldn't be able to give it to the dogs. So that's Reb Shimon's opinion. Behudah, he says, Erev Shabbos, so he argues and says, no, if it wasn't an Avela from before Shabbos, which is the case that Reb Shimon is talking about, then it's forbidden, because we say that if it's Muchen La Adam, if it's prepared for people, which generally if it's not dead yet, people are planning on eating the animal, they don't want to give it and waste it on the dogs, then it's not considered prepared for dogs, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. However, one thing we see is that our Mishnah seems to be an anonymous in the Mishnah, not like Reb Shimon. Nothing more says no. A fellow Tim Reb Shimon, we could even say that the town of a Mishnah is like Reb Shimon. But Moed Reb Shimon b'Bali Chaim, Reb Shimon agrees by live animals which were healthy by Bein Hashmashes, by twilight, when Yom Tov was starting, or Shabbos, Shemesu, that if they die on Yom Tov, Shastrun, that they are forbidden. And although we just quote a Brisa that he says that you could cut up a Nevela, which obviously happened on Yom Tov itself, or else Yehuda wouldn't have argued, that's only if it was already in danger of dying in twilight by Bein Hashmashes, where then he's already thinking about it, that, okay, I'm going to give it to the dogs because I don't think it's going to make it, and I'm never going to end up slaughtering it, and that's the case where he would say that's permitted. But in our Mishnah, he would agree, and therefore he could be the town of our Mishnah, that it was a healthy animal, where no one has the mind of giving it to the dogs, and even according to him, it would be mukta when it dies on Yom Tov, and you wouldn't be able to give it to the dogs. Now, that the Gemara asks, okay, ha nicha lamar bar meimer mishmei derava. That's very well according to one Amarok opinion. The Amar that he says, moideh ha Reb Shimon b'balei chayim shemesu shasurin sushaper. According to him, he actually says this. He says the Reb Shimon agrees by a living animal, which was healthy, where it dies on Yom Tov, that even Reb Shimon would agree that it is forbidden and it's muktzah. According to him, we could say that Reb Shimon is the Tana of a Mishnah. Elamar b'rei derav yeis mishmei derava. The Amar, his version is, chalak ha Reb Shimon afil b'balei chayim shemesu shemutarin, that even a healthy animal that died, that was healthy by Bein Hashmashes and died on Yom Tov, that even then it's permitted to go ahead and give it to the dogs, because, no, one does not remove it from one's thought of using it for whatever he could use it for, which is even to give it to the dogs. And therefore, even though it's fully healthy, when it dies in Yom Tov, you give it to the dogs. So what are you going to be able to say? That clearly seems to contradict our Mishnah, which says that if it dies, you cannot move it, which according to, it seems, by Reb Shimon, in all cases, you should be able to move it, even if it was totally healthy. So that the Gemara says, Tirguma Ze'iri, Ze'iri interpreted that the case of our Mishnah could be talking about the behemoth kachim. We're talking about an animal of kachim, which is forbidden bahana, because it's kachim, and therefore it needs to be buried, and it cannot be redeemed. And the reason why it cannot be redeemed is because it needs hamad of haracha, which can only be done when it's alive, it has to be evaluated and assessed. Or the reason is because we cannot redeem kachim to give to dogs, and that would be the only utility it has now on Yom Tov. And therefore, it's not fit, and that's why even Reb Shimon would agree that such an animal you can't move, because there's no utility, it's totally muktzah, you can't even give it to your dogs, which, since it's kachim. And therefore, that's why a Mishnah could be like him, but you're right, if it was chulin, then it would be permitted to go ahead and give it to the dogs. So the Gemara says, Dekanami, actually a precise reading of our Mishnah seems to indicate this, because Diktani, we learn our Mishnah, Aleha v'alachalash nitmas, that they asked Reb Tarfon the question regarding the dead animal carcass, and regarding chala, the kahana gift of challah that became tummy. Now, we can make a comparison between these two cases. Ma challah de kadisha, just like challah has kedusha as sanctity, of behemah de kadisha, so too the case of the animal was one of kachim, and therefore, yes, it makes a lot of sense to say, even according to that Amarok opinion, that our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, because it's talking about kachim, where even that opinion would agree that Reb Shimon would hold that it's usher because it has no utility, even for one's dogs. Now, but then the Gemara says, Ella, but since you made this diyuk, you made this inference from our Mishnah, which seems to compare the animal to challah, so then by default, then from that you should infer that, oh, okay, if it's a time of the Kadisha, that the reason why the halacha will be like this by the animal that you can't move it is only because it's kachim. Now, on that, the Gemara is asking, are you saying that the reason is only because it's kachim? But ha-chulin sharia, but if it was non-kachim, then it actually would be permitted to give it to the dogs, and it would not become usher because of muktzah. So then the question goes around the other way. So ha-nichel ma-barid Rabbi Yisim ishmei derav ha-adama, that he says, cholakur b'shem enaf b'alechayim b'shem esu shem utar. According to that opinion that says, that Reb Shimon holds that it's even permitted by a full healthy animal, that was chulin, that's not a kachim animal, that's permitted to go ahead and cut up for the dogs if it died on Yom Tov, so shaper, that makes a lot of sense. So you could say that our Mishnah is precise to say that actually chulin would be permitted, and it's Reb Shimon who he holds, that there's no broad spectrum of mukta, and this wouldn't be also because of mukta. However, elamar bar ameimer mishmei derava, the Amma that he said, moideh ha Reb Shimon b'balechayim shemesu sh'asurin, that he said that he agrees that Reb Shimon would say that if it was fully healthy before Yom Tov, so it's, you're not ever thinking about using it for the dogs. And therefore, if it dies on Yom Tov, if it was healthy and it wasn't Mesukenes, then it's going to be forbidden to give it to the dogs on Yom Tov. Michael and Emma, according to him, what are you going to say? Because that comes out, especially after we made this dig that is talking about an animal of Kachim, which the inference is, but if it was chulin, you would be able to give it to the dogs. So who's our Mishnah? It's not like Rabbi Yehuda, who for sure holds a mukta, and not like Rabbi Shimon, who this opinion is saying that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's mukta by such a chulin animal. But if we're saying that it's only by kachim, according to that opinion, who's our Mishnah like? So the Gemara answer is b'musakenes v'divri hakol. Actually, it's going like Rabbi Shimon. Now our Mishnah is talking about, but the animal was already deathly ill when Yom Tov was starting. Whereas we said before, Rabbi Shimon says that is permitted. As we start off the Gemara, Mechatzchen and Sadluin, you could cut these things, and Nevela, which we had explained, that's talking about a case where the animal is Mesukenes, where there, Rabbi Shimon, even according to, everyone would agree in Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that that's going to be considered, one is having that in mind to use it for the dog. Now that's why, when it's Kachim, you can't move it, because Kachim, even then it won't help, because you can't give it to the dogs. But by Chulin, that's why Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's going to be permitted, because chulin is something that could be used, and since it's musakenis, you're having that in mind. So that's the case of our Mishnah, that even though it's talking about kachim, but it's kachim that's musakenis, so that would go well according to that American opinion, that you're right. If it was fully healthy, then when it was chulin, it actually would be aser. But we're talking about kachim that's musakenis, that only by kachim would be aser, but by chulin, then it would be mutter. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the halachas relating to meat on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah tells us, "Ein nimnin al behema leketchila b'yom tov." We're not allowed to go ahead and count ourselves, which the Gemara doesn't explain exactly what does this mean of counting on an animal. That cannot be done initially on Yom Tov. Aval nimna lama erev Yom Tov. However, you can go ahead and make the calculations regarding the animal from before Yom Tov. Or if one wants, v'sheichtin, what the slaughterer could go ahead, he could slaughter the animal without assessing how much money it's worth. U'mechalkin b'nein, and then the people split amongst themselves. And then tomorrow, then they assess how much money they owe the butcher. Now the Gemara asks, ma'ein nimn, what is this halacha that we cannot count, make accounting for the animal initially on Yom Tov? So Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, he says, it means, ein poiskin damim, we cannot go ahead and assess monetary value for the piece of meat that you're purchasing on Yom Tov, which that's a halacha which I learned out in the Pasuk in Nehemiah that says that mekach memcher, business dealings are forbidden on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and therefore you cannot go ahead and start talking price. That's something that's not allowed on Yom Tov. Now, so then the Gemara asks, so regarding what we said in the Mishnah, so what do you do if, let's say, you didn't make up a price from before Yom Tov? So the Mishnah said, what you could do is you could have the butchers slaughter it, and then the people split it amongst themselves. And then tomorrow, then they'll go ahead and they'll figure out pricing. But that the Gemara asks, hey, chiyavit, how does one go about doing such a thing? How will they know tomorrow how much the animal that they really ate up, how much it was worth, to assess the value of the money that the person owes to the butcher? So I'm a Rav. Rav said what you could do is as follows. Maybe he brings to them on Yom Tov shtei behemoth. He brings two animals that are equal, or at least very, very similar. And he puts them one next to the other. And he tells them that this one's like that one. And then tomorrow you assess the remaining one, and that will know how much the animal is worth to know how much the people that split the animal amongst themselves owe the butcher, because you see this one, which is the same, that's how much they owe him. As the Gemara says, Tanam HaHoch is similar in the Braisa. Lo yemo adim l'chaver, a person shouldn't tell his friend, Hareini imcha, I'm with you. In other words, I'm counting myself on this animal, b'sela, with a coin worth a sela, or Hareini imcha b'shtam, I'm with you with two slime. Now that's like Shmuel's halacha that says that we cannot assess monetary value for an animal on Yom Tov. Aval oimer loy, but what he could tell him is, Hareini imcha l'mechza l'shlesh revir, but I'm with you for half the animal, for a third the animal, for a quarter the animal. And that's the halacha of our Mishnah, where one person cannot afford the whole animal himself. So what they would do is they would split it. However, when it's coming to split it, how are they going to know how much money each is worth? That's what they say, that they cannot go ahead and assess the money now. They could have two animals and know which one this is. And even when the others are splitting amongst themselves, he can't say, okay, I'll take $1 worth, I'll take $10 worth, because that's, again, using money, which is mekach memcher. You just say, I'll take a third, I'll take a half. That's permitted, and then after Yom Tov, then they go ahead and talk about the money deals. But on Yom Tov, that's forbidden to talk about, because that's mekach memcha on Shabbos and Yom Tov.